This is St. Patty's Day, March the 17th, 1996. I'm sure the commander will be with us in just a minute. We'll put it on pause until he's ready.
Here.
Oh, Doris is here.
I was just told that Dr. Bradshaw said forget all these stupid diets and things, they don't work. So I had this to wear during break. But I'm not going to wear it now. This is because Dr. Bradshaw said it won't do any good not to have this.
For all of those out in tape land, it says this thing that goes around Doris's neck. It says, please, no food or drink allowed.
John, all you could have done worse was say cow. For the radio viewers, Mr. and Mrs. Miller have another pile of documents from George Green, and that was enough to get me into a bad mood. But when I read what he has put on their letter, it puts me in a good mood. Is Gene Dixon here? Yeah. Okay. Make sure you see Gene Dixon after class, because they say you might as well get, George does, you might as well get an attorney to help unwind your mess on their house, meaning our house. The Eckers have lied to all of us. So I would not suggest you get a lawyer. If you think that you're in a mess now, and we're going to begin the pro per school right away so you can do it yourself. Is Ed here? Well, we've got a lot of stuff to do today, so Commander's been asked for a show and tell over Texas because they're claiming their republic today. But I have, and I am not speaking for Commander, but I was so disappointed they sent through a new list of obligations and constitutional things and so forth. And the very first one indicates that if you're not a Jesus Christ Christian, you're not going to really have a place in the Texas Republic. That's number one on there. I meant to bring that because my heart just sank. I mean, of all the people in the world that have been the brunt of ETs and so forth, and the request here is to have a show and tell in the sky, well, I don't think they really mean that, because I can't imagine it would do anything but cause trouble. And if we can't understand that we can be Christian and still enjoy Buddha and Maitreya and Jesus, if you will, because his name was Emmanuel. And Saul of Tarsus named him Jesus after Jesus was no longer in the Holy Land. And for goodness sakes, we won't get into that now, but I cannot, in my heart, really support a secession from our union if we're going to restrict. Our nation was birthed under God. And anybody in a Christ attitude to me is God. And I would go on record as that. And I don't know how others feel. I would, you know, I mean, it's to Commander, but I felt really strongly about it. It's just that everything gets so twisted. So if Ed isn't here to make his report yet, maybe you would go ahead, EJ, and read today's, because Commander's launching right out into the depths, into light, who we are, what is God. We're going to try it again. This time we have Tom Astley's diagrams and his input as to what they mean, even to the periodic table of elements, so we can use Russell's chart of elements, because that is public domain. I am not going to use anything from Russell, period. I hope that also goes on record.
before. Before we do today's writing, we have a nice message from 2x6 down in Florida that I would like to read. It's titled, When You Care Enough to Send the Very Best. For many years, the Hallmark Greeting Card Company has used that slogan in their advertising. It is meant, I'm sure, to make the buyers think they are really swell people for sending Hallmark cards. Well, that's fine. I would like to now apply that slogan in this way. Thank you, beloved Father, for caring enough about human earth man to send the very best, hosts of God, to our desperately needed assistance. Thank you for sending Commander Hatton, whose every word, even in his harshest rebuke or most technical lessons, reflects pure love for us all and all of creation. The same applies to Commander Soltec, Violini Germain, and our beloved Master and Protector, Christed Sananda, and all the hosts of God, too numerous to list here. Thank you, God, Creator, from 2x6. From the writing, Sunday, March the 17th, 1996, heading Light. May you keep the light shining brightly about you so that you can find your way. If you will listen within, most especially in the silence of each moment, you may find your way. God facilitates the can. You must bring forth the may. Light is everything, and from light comes all that is created. This is the idea of Creator. We shall refer to this entity, Creator, as God. I shall not label all the names given to this one light or source, for from one come all the rest, save for language differences. You must be very careful, however, lest you offer one of the enemies of God his label. Heading Power. When we reach out for understanding of what is meant by power, we again have to look to the one light, the source, God Creator, for from his one light comes all things. God the Creator is power. There is no other power. Light and power are energy in every sense of the definition. So too is God magnetic energy expressed in stillness. All energy lies within that stillness of God. The one former being true, the next logically follows in the God that in that God is mind, the intelligence of the universe. God doesn't need more than one idea, for all ideas make up the whole of idea. Therefore, we have one mind, one idea, one creator, one lighted source, from which God's desire to give creative expression to his one idea by thinking is offered as the idea has given life into portions. Each of us experiencing entities is part of that whole idea. The very act of sincere desire is the power that allows creation. Desire in the light of mind is the power quality of mind. Desire is the soul of mind, the will of mind. Therefore, it can only remain truth that all product of God or man is the result of desire of mind to create the product. Products have no power. Realization that all of the foregoing is understood, then you have to look at things or products. There is no power in products. Taken in single elemental form, you have nothing but an array of possibilities. Product has no power within itself to produce itself. The assumption that somehow products have power within themselves is but another of man's foolish illusions. These illusions have deceived the senses of mortal sensing man until these days of unfolding. No cathedral ever created itself. Idea conceived the beginning thoughts, and thoughts put into energy of creating, and finally the actual structuring in a manifest form gave structure to a cathedral. Ah, but who and what gave the idea to the architect? God. The finished product, cathedral, is the product not of itself, but of the idea through desire of an architect, knowing he has the power to build such a product. The fact is that the cathedral already exists. The eyes of the spirit can see its spiritual image as clearly as the eyes of the body can sense it in stone as a product. It must be so, lest you have put a pile of, you have but a pile of rocks. Since you are but an electric wave universe, you must now look to what is action. The expression of power to create the idea as product lies in this electric action of think idea at rest in the light of mind into the two lights of waves of motion which simulate that idea. Remember, there must be the duality of presentation in waves of motion, electricity, whatever there is. Electricity is a servant of mind. It gives moving form to the idea in focus by performing the work necessary to produce it. The power, therefore, to thus produce does not lie in electricity nor in motion. It lies in the desire, only in mind. Without the desire, creation could not be. Without desire of mind in man, his power to create even product could not be. So, what is mind? Mind is simply light at rest. Desire of mind is expressed through waves of light becoming motion. One of the most difficult concepts to understand in this subject is that stillness is from whence comes power. The expression of power is not power. All of the power of, say, an ocean is in its very stillness, whether there is expression or not. Likewise, all of that wondrous power of light resides in the stillness, and that is the stillness of knowing whether or not it is expressed by light waves. If you know in your mind that a product exists and you have desire for producing that product, you will express that desire. That expression requires the light waves and electricity of motion. Therefore, all expressions of energy come from rest. Seek a point of rest and return to a condition of rest. The power of a moving lever is not in the lever nor in its motion. It is in the stillness of its fulcrum from which it borrows its ability to manifest the power of its function.
Are you able to visualize this? I don't want just to read and just have it washed right over.
Therefore, you can have no power without a fulcrum, which is at total rest. God is the fulcrum of man and the universe. Ah, but until you know God, you cannot manifest the goals of mind, for you have no fulcrum upon which to base your creating power. You have to know. Are there interim fulcrums upon which a given man can base his learning? Yes, indeed, and herein I know that I can do so and offer you learning, that you might come to know, and in that knowing, learn to create from mind idea. There is no way that you cannot express, finally, the idea, if the desire of mind is wholly focused on that idea. You will have the power of knowing and the power of creation to produce the idea into being. Here comes another difficult thought, unless you are willing to learn. Neither man nor any moving thing in the universe has power within itself to do anything. Does this sound like a contradiction of what I have said prior to now? It isn't. Why? Because God is, and the you that you are perceiving yourself to be is not. You are not that physical expressed as you. You are that invisible essence of soul-mind. God shall gather and regain his fragments from where he pleases, when he pleases, how he pleases, and shall bring home whom he pleases according to his conditions. Let us now look at the next obvious sequence in realization of anything. I may well have knowing and mind capability, but my desire is that you function. I already realize that I know and that I am. You who serve with me, however, must realize that you are the reflection of that which came before, the idea. Knowing who and what I am gives me a bit of leverage, for I recognize my fulcrum and the power of my knowing in the stillness of that which is all. Mechanical principles. Since you do not fully comprehend the principles as they exist in that one magnetic stillness of God, we shall have to offer a foundation upon which you can relate to the subject. The mechanical principle by means of which power is expressed by the Creator is in the light waves of two-way motion. This records his two-way thinking, out and back. Waves are two-way cycles which are divided equally to express the two desires of mind to create form images of mind imagining and to destroy those forms sequentially for reforming. Waves of motion spring from the stillness of the universal equilibrium. They are the universal heartbeat which manifests eternal life and power in God's stillness by eternal repetitions of simulated life and power as expressed in waves of motion. Waves of motion express the power of desire for unbalance and motion, which in light at rest, and they also express the opposing desire for balance and rest, which is motion. Desire in the one light of mind is positive. Its expression in the two lights of opposed motion is negative. Every expression of power in nature is negated by its opposite expression. Here we begin to touch on cause and effect. We also come to confront the senses. Mind can contain the whole idea, but the senses are limited to the perception of but one of these actions, negations, at a time, and then only in small fractions of whole cycles. If the senses could record the whole of each cycle both ways, they would record stillness, not motion, for every action would be voided by its oppositely flowing reaction. Sex. This may well get sensing man's attention, but I don't think you will have as much fun with my explanation. The still magnetic light of the Father of all creation is one. The one light is the positive principle. It is cause. The moving electric father-mother lights of all creation are two. Moreover, the two are opposites of each other. The two negate each other. They are the intercommunicating nerves of the universal body, like those of man's body through which he senses things. They have no existence except in awareness of each other. They are but an aberrant extension of mind, imagining, which senses that which they but manifest. Each electric opposite conditions the other with sex unbalance. Each sexed condition gives unbalance to the other, to separate each from each, to increase the power of each, to oppose each. Each then gives of itself to the other to void the unbalanced condition of each other. In order to effect balance in each must become the other. The charging one must discharge and the discharged one must charge. Voidance of unbalance can only come that way. Likewise, repetition can come only that way. The electric universe is the negative principle. It is effect. The two moving lights of the electric universe are two equal halves which express themselves in opposite directions. Their sole purpose is to oppose. Opposites which violently oppose and void each other can never become one, nor can they attract each other. Sensing mankind. We will pause here long enough to turn to the perceptions as are conditioned into men and women for the purpose of procreation. Pleasure, pain, whatever is the most current concept of what is projected that you should feel. This has little to do with the foregoing subject in discussion. Man has chosen to call the act of intercourse sex. He also calls it making love. It is actually neither. It is the act of expression of something, rarely love in any recognition, and neither does it actually express sex as in mixed pairs, because the more current attitude is to stick at anything that wiggles. This hardly represents the truest and most responsible defining of either sex or love. You degrade and debase the very most beautiful expression of the principle of life. Man physical bases his every move on sensing. His senses will betray him, deceive him, degrade him, and destroy him. What he believes to be power and emotional fulfillment is but an extension of the very insecurity which causes him to misuse the wondrous acts of what should be a balancing and voidance experience. He sacrifices all for the act of sensing, which is at best mortal illusion. Mind of God doesn't push forward these ideas. Man's mental attitudes bring forth these sensing delusions. These activities in incorrect perception and practice bring greater imbalance to the being and will exhaust the participants, both creatively and sensually. Eventually, there is no meaning save lust in the interchanging of physical sensing. The very act of focusing only on the physical aspects of emotional interchange is an energy short circuit. To be able to grow in the intelligent perception of what is life and from whence it seems to flow is beyond the sensing desires of a nerve-strung entity, which is a higher thought projection of God's magnetic one light mind. However, in the creation of you, his thoughts, he allows for free will choices so that you too may become a perfectly balanced creator. You cannot create from light if you continually act and hide in the darkness while avoiding discovery of your deeds at all cost. It must be hidden, dear ones. Correction. If it must be hidden, dear ones, it is most often wrong action, which is a reflection of wrong intent. A good reminder of what I mean is the couple who indulge in illicit sexual encounter and then decide that if it feels good, it must be good. No, it is a mutual cop-out of responsible choices wherein there is such lack of self-discipline as to cause me to discount every other action those two might ever accomplish. If a man cannot control his sensing body, he can control no aspect of his life stream, for the idea and desire is from the one light of his mind. Man can not only control his actions in the sensing world, but he can control his mind and thought patterns. All the rebuttal is that there is no fun in your world of goodness. Fine, then stay out of it. However, you haven't had any time left over from your limitation of thoughts to even begin to conceive the wonders and fun of a universal expression. It feels good. You excuse yourselves for lack of responsible actions. I ask, if you find unwanted pregnancies, abortions, angry sexual practices, sadism, and other sensing things to be of such great, of such feel-good results, if you think a sexual encounter with someone is so great, then I suggest you have never felt the touch of God upon your being. For there is no thing which is so electric, so charged, so wondrous as that knowing in his allness. Argue with me? Forget the arguments, for you have nothing upon which to base any debate or argument if you have not felt both. I can further promise you that once you experience the electric universal touch of God, you will choose no other lover. And moreover, you will know the meaning of love. Yes, indeed, it will feel good. It will feel right, and it will be blossomed in the light of day and not hidden in the darkness of dark rooms, deceit, and lies. And in that knowing, you will realize the power which overcomes all negative confrontations. Without fear, you shall be able to go forth, yes, into the sensing world and win the goals established for mind and knowing produces from the desire of achieving the goal imagined. The higher the goal, the more wondrous the achievement. If the desire is present and the belief is present, you will learn how to accomplish the feat. The mind will offer the way with and through ideas. If your goal is to have big and bulging muscles, then you're going to have to exercise the ones you already have. If you want knowing, then you are going to have to exercise the mind you already have. If your goal is not worthy of effort, then you have no worthy goal. I will leave this lesson early today because we have a meeting this afternoon, and this offers quite enough to chew on and hopefully digest. The truth is so basically simple that it seems to evade most people and almost and always eludes them at first encounter. You want God to be some old man of the mountain. No, he's George Burns. No, he is the one light of all power, and from that one light comes all creation within an electrical energized universe. Please consider your choices wisely, for the middle of the road is no longer available. You are either for God or you are against him. There truly is no middle ground, readers. There are all manners of in-between actions and sensing man, but no middle ground concerning right and wrong perceptions of either living or of God's conditioning. Evil is anything that is not of God, and if you move from God, even if claiming you are correct or right and are not, you have accomplished evil in at the least intent. When you falsely damage another in his, her attempt to move toward God, you compound the evil perpetration. In every instance, there is choice. What do you choose? I don't speak of defense, readers, for men, for man must also stand and defend self, and he must take that stand with and within God. If God is not worthy of your stance in him, then you have no worthy God. You are a miracle manifest. Are you the worthy? Are you worthy of the honor? Yes, indeed, I am. Moreover, I am humble and honored to be allowed this knowing. I have only that truth to share, for all else is of no value. But you can know that I will take my stand openly and through my people, and when you commit crime or pain against my people, you have committed it against myself, and there will be no quarter in the response. Evil shall fall under its own sword of lies, deceit, hidden agendas, and basic ego greed. You might want to check your attitude. Thank you for your attention, and may understanding be your comfort. Good morning.
Thank you. I come in light. Sometimes I have to turn it up a bit higher as we go through the negative impacts of simply experiencing. We did not go forth to damage anyone. We did not take from anyone that did not understand. We have not lied to anyone. We have not cheated anyone. The facts are there has been no loss to anyone. If there is perceived loss, then truly it is their loss on a much higher scale than anything that can be touched in this room. The journey in this turmoil seems endless. No matter what is attempted in the legal processing, it seems there's no way to ever get it finished. We do not delay. We petition for speed. And it stalled out at every opportunity of the opposition. So what do you do? Do you give up? Not here. Not here. There are so many good and positive things that are coming these days that we must not even lose a moment in the consideration of any experience being negative. We have friends, made friends, I talked about this yesterday at great length, but all were not here. Was a business meeting. We have joint ventures going. We have willing people to come and tend the farm, turn the soil, do whatever is required. The brick making machine is now over in Rosamond, where practice can be accomplished with adding different mixtures of pumice, cement, powdered pumice, which is a basic cementing substance, mixed with speltoles, you'll have very lightweight brick, very, very strong. Things are going very well. The spelt is up and growing beautifully in Arvin. Cal Organic is growing it. I was so appreciative of what court had to offer, that you get away from things, back off where you can look at it. You have created a miracle, and you have done it in the face of the hardest assaults there are over money. And until mankind can grow above his concept of his ego only being able to handle itself by having the most money, no matter how you have to get it. And all the papers that Mr. Green can send like this to everybody on your mailing list means nothing. He took $350,000 in gold coin that was headed for your institute. Not to Eckers. He sat on a witness stand over twice that are known and in the record and said he was never an officer and director of the Phoenix Institute. He was one of the founding directors and officers, for goodness sakes. It was his plan. Was it a Ponzi scheme then? We have to, since the gold was taken, secretly taken, that there was some intent. And if ones think that it is unfortunate that I must speak on these things, I would remind everyone that we are not a church, we are not a cult, we are a group of people. And we have been hurt badly. We have been lied about, we have been stolen from, and the lies continue, the barrage continues. And if you think that God would not stand in your behalf against that, you are in error. We are going to win. And I'm not interested in the court cases. We are going to create and produce what we must do. And yet you must have your spiritual truth. You can't continue to reach a goal that is not realistic. God is real. That other dimension, that dimension in which your soul is, the you of you, the very epitome of you, has got to know. And there are all manners of ways to live within that wondrous expanding into knowing. And I have asked, because several days ago I wrote on this subject of the different stages of your coming into understanding, from infancy to childhood into ego, complete ego control, having, and then finally achieving some spiritual understanding. And Dharma was stunned after that day's writing, because she turned on the TV to the public broadcasting fundraising section, and Chopra was giving his newest dissertation on the way of the wizard. And it is so similar that it was shocking. And I asked her to bring it today. It's not too long. We cut out the little intermissions and the fundraising portion. And I think that each of you need the fulfilling spiritual input without the quarrels and all of the bad things that seem to be happening everywhere. If you can't come to understanding within self, your journey's going to bog down. And you're running out of what you can perceive as time because the sequence is so speeded. And things are going to start happening. Will you be ready? Will you be ready? We would think, well, we could be more ready if we didn't have all of these distractions and if we had abundance. You'll have abundance when you're ready. No one stopped working on it. No one's just waiting to see whether or not Dave Overton's gold ever gets back to his estate. You keep going. You keep going. As if. How do you do it? Each one in this room who is responsible will say, I have no idea. This looks nice. This was a gift. We'll thank Marie Zettel for this. It's the only way we have to share what those precious people share in little bits with us. I even fantastically thought, perhaps, I call him Padre O'Cleary, might come. I would appreciate it if someone would see to it that he gets some cake. There's no anger in our hearts with Ed Cleary. We miss him. He needs us. And we need him. Ones perceive what is poked in front of their faces. Ones haven't access to all information, so you make judgments on what you don't know. But I can promise you this, when the ego gets involved, your own neighbor will turn you in. Your own ones who denounce you will turn you in for something, anything. And the most recent turn in to the planning department and the zoning commission by Mr. Entz fell on his face. Fell absolutely on his face. The inspectors have been. Mr. Turner has been with them. They have been out there and inspected that farm without anyone in it. Is it worth what you do to one another? Especially to try to hurt me. Is it fair what you do to the Eckers to try to destroy Hatton? Because I can promise you, you're not going to destroy either one. No one is forced into anything here. This is the epitome. This is probably the only place around that you're going to truly be able to express and appreciate freedom. We don't bind you. We don't hold you. We don't charge you. We offer what we have. We don't have any more. But we have God. And we have a mission. And we're going to do it. And I appreciate 2x6. This man is in Florida. He works for NASA. And 365 days a year, he sends us information, clippings, writings, faxes, every day. And he's never seen us. And I'm grateful. And I'm humble. And I thank him. Shall we just get our popcorn and move right into it? There are several things here we've got to get through today. I want to share Chopra. He is a gift. He is from India. He is a gift. Another one that I think is a gift to you people is John Bradshaw. You've got to learn to deal with that family, with that baby, with that child within you. And you've got to overcome the ego that binds you and stops you from being creative. You can't hang up in blame. You've got to move beyond. Let it go. Let blame go. Let hatred go. It holds you. So if there's any announcements or anything to be made, to be said, let's do it now and then let's enjoy this afternoon. We need to see another film because there is a gentleman that Nora is now back and forth with and we want to look at what he has sent to her with the consideration of asking him here to speak. So we need to do that. So if there's something else, let's do it.
Yes, Ed will take the mic for a minute.
Very, very good. Thank you, Ed.
You're most welcome, Commander. There's a very interesting, remarkable thing brewing right now. And it started out Friday night on Art Bell's radio show. This was a three-hour meeting with Richard Hoagland, who you may remember and Commander has talked about recently and recommended his material. He's been for a long time dealing with things that are going on Mars and on the moon and is very well connected from his days in White House science offices and as chief science advisor to CBS News in the old days, and he is very, very well connected in the scientific world and in the communications newspaper industry. And Friday night, he literally set off a bomb in some circles. And I'm sure what I'm about to say, Commander can't talk about to a great extent, but we'll see what unfolds come Thursday morning. What's going to happen this coming Thursday morning at 9 o'clock at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C., Richard Hoagland, and in fact it had to be moved from the Edward R. Murrow room at the National Press Club to the main ballroom because it has so escalated in number of people to be there. And right now, Richard is trying to get all of Art's listeners to bomb C-SPAN to insist that C-SPAN cover this event. What is going to happen, Richard is going to show photographs from 30 years ago, 35 years ago, as a matter of fact, from 1960 and earlier, from our earliest orbiting missions around the moon. And he is going to show the actual photographs that those satellites took that you never saw, that you, the taxpayers who paid for the work, never got to see. And those pictures are going to show the structures on the moon. Some of them ruins, some of them buildings, some of them glass bridge type structures, full 9 miles up in the sky. The editor-in-chief of Popular Science or Popular Mechanics, I forget which one, was talking to Hoagland on Friday saying, gee, we're just about to run an article about the use of glass in bridges for bridge construction here on Earth. And not only is Richard going to be at this press conference, but several NASA scientists are willing, finally, to stand up and be part of the group who were part of the suppression, who were told 30 years ago to please get rid of these photographs, please don't show these, this is national security, blah, blah, blah. They are going to stand up and say, yes, we were there, we did the initial...